Good evening and welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 59. On August 26th, 2013. You guys have been waiting a long time for this one. And I am back at you one more time, changing the world one ass at a time. So this comment came in a message sent to me that actually, I'm going to start off with the not so fun stuff, detailed in a really unhappy, selfish relationship where pegging was expected of her, as were many other fetishes, but no effort was really made to give her what she wanted, despite her asking for it. And she said for years she felt like it was her duty, and that's actually a word that in the sexual context and like not in a role-playing sense, that word just makes me twitch, and not in a good way. Sex is not a duty. It's a consensual adventure. But thankfully, this woman is now involved in a very happy and mutually satisfying pegging relationship. But this is the one sentence I wanted to read you because I'm not sure how much she wanted me to share, and part of it was very personal. But I thought you guys needed to hear this. Perhaps for your male listeners, it would be advisable to first make sure her wishes and desires are also fulfilled, followed by a ton of exclamation marks. Well, obviously, she's coming from having had that really bad experience, but the point is very, very valid. I absolutely and totally agree with this, and actually I've stated it over and over, that talking to the men here, if you rock your woman's world sexually, she will be more willing to peg you. I mean, there's no guarantees, but ideally, before you approach pegging, which can be edgy and filled with all kinds of misconceptions and all that crap, ideally first, you have a lovely communicative relationship and you are the GGG couple, you know, good giving and game, because you don't want to be like this guy, that's for sure. And it's something that can really never be overemphasized. For the men out there who want to persuade their partners to peg them, let me read you something straight from my article convincing her to try it. First, communication is the key. You need to be able to ask for what you want. If you can't open your mouth and talk with your partner about sex, she's not going to magically intuit that you want to get fucked up the ass with a dildo. If you demand instead of ask, that's not likely to meet with any success either. Take a good long look at your relationship first. Do your very best to practice Dan Savage's GGG, good giving and game. Think good in bed, giving of equal time and equal pleasure, and game for anything within reason. If you just want to find one more way to please yourself and you don't really give a flying fuck about her pleasure, don't bother asking for anything until you get your act together, seriously. We are not just talking about your lady's willingness to peg you. We're also talking about the state of your relationship with her. Think about it. So that was from my article convincing her to try it. So yeah, guys, this has been said over and over again. You need to rock her world sexually so that she is a limp ragdoll of trembling pleasure. And in the spirit of giving equal time and pleasure, will be totally into asking you what she can do for you. More than a few men have written me about this being a very good technique, really vouching for it. And you know, it's not just something to do to get what you want. It's a great way to be for your relationship in general. Because then you're going to be that couple in line at the grocery store that are gazing into each other's eyes and cozying up, and everyone is jealous because they want the sexual connection that you have. So if you're not there, experiment and practice and communicate and play until you rock her world. Okay, we're going to move on to an iTunes podcast review that I wanted to tell you about. First, let me say thanks for the reviews, everyone. I really appreciate them and the ratings. It definitely helps me on iTunes. This particular review is titled in a manner that made me laugh, and I had to share it with you. It's a pretty short one, but the title of it is societal correction at its best. And then it says, great show, well done, and so sexy. I like that idea of societal correction. Of course, you know, it appeals to the part of me that likes control, of course. And I get this vision of me like slapping a riding crop against the palm of my hand or my thigh as I record the podcast, all dressed up in leather and boots and fetish stuff. And you can picture me that way too if you like. Actually, that might be a fun way to teach a pegging class. But then again, you know, would people learn anything or as much? I don't know. Clearly, I need to do some research, right? Speaking of teaching classes, I am finally making it back out to Denver to teach a couple of classes. I've scheduled beginning and advanced pleasure of pegging classes at the Rack Room in Denver. Ms. Saskia is generously hosting these classes, and I hope you will attend and support the event if you are anywhere in the vicinity. She hosts classes as a service to the kink community, and actually many times loses money when she does because she can't take clients. So let's pack the room and show her our support. And let me teach you all about pegging. It happens Tuesday, September 3rd. That's the date. The beginning class is going to start at 6:30 and last until 8. And then we're going to take a 15-minute break. And then the advanced class will start at 8:15 and end at 9:45. We're going to wrap things up. I'm going to bring harnesses for you to try on and dildos for you to take a look at. The one class is 15, but both of them are only 20. So, I mean, come on, for $5 more, go for both. Cash at the door. So come on down and settle in, and I will teach you a lot about pegging. And I will also answer all the questions you have, unless I don't know the answer. And then I will find out and get back to you after the class, which is how we sex educators learn even more. So, if you're connected to me on Facebook, I've posted it as an event. It is a public posting, so you don't need to be my friend to see it, in case you don't want Aunt Thelma to know you like it up the ass, or you like to do your guy up the ass. I totally understand. But you can read the directions of how to sign up for the class there. And I'm going to put the link on the blog of the posting on FetLife, because it is a public posting. This will be the first time I have traveled to Denver when it wasn't, by my sissy California standards, freezing. Yay is all I can say, and double yay. Denver, here I come. So I'm also going to post a link to the event and information about it in the upper right-hand corner of my blog where it says Ruby's News. So I'll have it there too if you want to take a look there. Okay, so now we have a check-in. Hi, Ruby. You read my message on your podcast number 56 recently about meeting a friend on FetLife and helping to introduce her to pegging. We are the never heard of it to sign me up cowboy in 24 hours couple. You asked for an update, so here it is. We were able to meet face to face earlier this week for the first time for coffee and had agreed there would be no question of any intimacy or play for the first meeting. Have to comment, too, that she set up the most awesome safe call protocol I've ever heard of, which made me even more impressed with her when she told me later. We met at a Starbucks in a lovely little New England town with a well-known Ivy League college, chatted for an hour, and took a stroll around the campus together. We agreed to meet again in a couple of months in a place where we can play together, and she wants to pop my pegging cherry when we do. As we are also in a dom-sub relationship, I intend to deliver a truly satisfying flogging and rock her world as much as I possibly can. That is a mutual kink interest as well. There may well be floggers, crops, nipple clamps, and restraints on the bedside table alongside the strap-on harness and lube. Well, we agreed no intimacy for our first meeting and were both eyeing a nearby hotel a little wistfully as we sat on a park bench in front of the campus. But we made do with the longest, most passionate necking session either of us has experienced since we were teenagers. Passing tour groups may have had to avert their eyes a bit, but what the hey. I did get to second base briefly and have to say at an age where it's usual to jump into bed immediately once passion grips you, it was actually kind of nice not to be able to do that and just enjoy a very long kissing session and a little discreet groping instead. Also, for BDSM aficionados, we found it's possible to get a taste of that in full public view without raising an eyebrow. Just grab his or her hair in your fist at the roots, pull back firmly, and kiss them really hard and really deep, and you'll both get that dom-sub thrill. We'll update you after our next meeting, and hope we'll be able to tell you of a successful pegging experience then. Keep up the great work, Ruby, you rock. Haha. Well, the first thing I must say is that in the excitement of your first message, I forgot that this was a long-distance connection. And as I reread your first message, I was reminded that you initially had no plans to ever meet until you really started connecting online. So I'm really glad that your actual first meeting went so well. And I love all the hot necking and teenager type stuff. That just totally cranks up the level of desire wonderfully. It's nice to hear you two are also exploring a dom-sub relationship and have all kinds of plans. So, no doubt, you will let us know when any actual pegging happens so I can play the music for you both. What I am curious about is you mentioned that she had this awesome safe call protocol, and you never told us what it was. So I am very curious about that if you want to give us a shout back and detail that. I am very curious. Okay, here's another letter. Hi, Ruby. I've written you before when I was just starting to peg my boyfriend and I didn't think he liked it because it fizzled out. Well, that is not the case anymore. Anyway, my question for you is last night we were really getting into it. He was on his back and I was fucking him really good. He looked like he was almost in pain, but moaning so good for a while. Then it was just like he had come, but he didn't. His exact words were, "Something happened, but I am not sure what." I was just wondering if you'd ever heard of something like that before. Thanks for all your pegging advice. Well, I would love to have a little more information, like more of a description of what it felt like for your guy. I'm assuming it felt good, because you said it was like he came, but he didn't. You don't mention there being any kind of penile stimulation, so it sounds to me like what they have decided to call a super orgasm, which is a term that was actually coined by an Aneros user. And if there is one place on the internet where you can find men talking about all the various ways to orgasm, and there are many more than you would think, it would be the Aneros forum boards. I'm going to link to the wiki that they have created for the Super O so that you and your guy can read it and decide if this is what actually happened to him. With the information you sent in, that's my best guess, because that is something that sort of feels like an orgasm, but it doesn't have that same ejaculatory release. But it is sort of a peak, if you will. And yay for you both. I mean, isn't it amazing when your body does something pleasurable that you didn't know it could do, first of all, and didn't expect? And that is sometimes something that happens to men who are receiving a good pegging and with prostate stimulation in general, is the Super O. So read about it and then get back to me and let me know if you guys think that that's what happened. And here's another letter. Ruby, I wish first to congratulate you on your most successful website. Without it, a million women and men would be without the wisdom, the knowledge, and the pleasure of a very wonderful and life-changing experience. You educate professionally, compassionately, and with some of the most wonderful erotic methods known. Since my first letter to you, my partner and I have opened up completely and are enjoying beyond our wildest fantasies the practice of pegging. We both enjoy it so much. It is most times the way we seem to finish our lovemaking sessions. I only wish, and I am trying all the time, to be able to make my partner understand the bond that it creates between us, for me, the recipient. She owns my ass, and my absolute dedication and loyalty is hers alone, and I love it as much as she does. I wish more men would write in and tell the women what they do to our souls and our very being when they have us on the end of their strap-on. The only regret I have with all this is that I have not met a partner sooner that was as understanding and turned on to this practice. Keep up the good work, and if it is at all possible, demonstrate to women out there the correct technique in this pegging. Fortunately, our communication and connection is very open and good. Therefore, my partner has the ability to do it perfectly. No pain, no mess, and she listens very closely to my moans and reactions to what she's doing, and the rewards are orgasmic, to say the least. Again, congratulations, Miss Ruby, and keep up the oh-so-very-good pegging. Thanks for that letter. I'm not sure about the million part, but I am indeed flattered, and I would like to think a million people have seen my website. I haven't done the math. Right now, I'm running between 15,000 and 20,000 uniques a month, and what that means is between 15 and 20,000 distinctly different people visit my website in a 30-day period, because it doesn't count multiple visits. That's what uniques means. So I'm pretty happy about that. That's not bad numbers at all. Your sentence here, I want to read this again. I wish more men would write in and tell the women what they do to our souls and our very being when they have us on the end of their strap-on. I love this idea as much as I love your phrasing, sir. My sense has always been that pegging touches a very core part of a man, energetically and emotionally. I'm not just talking physically. And it can be pretty life-changing when experienced with a partner who he feels comfortable expressing all that opening and vulnerability to. And, you know, it allows her to glimpse his deeper, tender parts. And I'm not just talking about his ass here. I mean, it can be really emotional. So when a man writes in and uses the word souls to describe this experience, you know you are going figuratively deep here and emotionally deep. So back to this idea of men writing in on this subject, I would so welcome that, enjoy it, revel in those letters, I tell you. Here's why. I thrill to people revealing their deeper layers. I really do. And this is right in line with my strap-on, I tell you. So let's get those letters happening, guys. Send them to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. Here's another sentence out of your letter. Keep up the good work, and if it is all possible, demonstrate to women out there the correct technique in this pegging. Ah, if only it were that simple, really. Some men like it hard and deep. Some men like it partway and slow. Some men love girth. Some men hate it. Some men like a firm dildo and firm pressure on their prostate. Some men prefer a softer toy, like the Tantus O2 line or the Vixen Creations Vixkin line, and they feel uncomfortable with the firmer toys. So, here's the deal. What it comes down to is that we can share tips which work for us, but that doesn't mean it's going to apply to all men, because there is no magic formula. So, you know, we can try the tips from other people, but there's no guarantees. Because, you know, think about it, people. This is just like talking about women and how to make them come, which buttons to push to send them into the galaxy with pleasure. Because we are all different. Some of us like a lot of clit stimulation. Some of us hate it. Some like the G-spot. Some find it uncomfortable. Some like thick cocks, some like smaller cocks, and some are size queens. You just have to experiment and maybe read about what works for other people, try it out, and have fun experimenting. And for the letter writer, your lady sounds like she's already learned what most men find out. Try something, watch closely for reactions, listen, and learn while trying different things. You know, this is what I mean when I say part of the learning curve of pegging is multitasking. This is what guys are really good at, because that's exactly what men do. And actually, they do it to such a greater extent than women will ever be able to fathom. And as far as multitasking is concerned, you know, actually, it's widely believed that women are better at multitasking. But when you look it up, there are no studies that show that conclusively. You know, the difference according to gender are so small in these studies that they've done, which are not very many, as to be insignificant. So, you know, you can put that myth to rest. Because think about this. When your guy is fucking you, he is probably fucking you or playing with your clit with his mouth or hand and playing with another part of your body at the same time, like your nipples or your G-spot or pulling your hair, kissing you or whatever he has found that you like. And he is watching you, feeling you, listening to you to see how you react to whatever he's doing. The shorter strokes, the longer strokes, the harder pressure, the softer pressure. Okay, so check this last part out. And all the while, he is trying to regulate his own enjoyment so that he stays hard, but he doesn't come too soon, and he still has a good time. That's a lot. Guys rock. I mean, that last part is a part women never have to worry about. The coming too soon and staying hard thing. Well, you know, ours is always right there. No big deal. But anyway, sometimes I cannot help but get off on the tangent of expressing my awestruckness of guys and their ability to fuck us women. They're pretty damn awesome. And thank you, Mr. Letter Writer, for the lovely letter and all of your kind words. It was all very much appreciated and fun to read here and to answer your questions. Oh, and speaking of questions, this same reader wrote again a couple of days later with a bunch of questions that I'm going to answer to the best of my ability. Hi, Ruby. How does it feel to be so trusted by someone you have never met? For me to be asking such personal questions, and if you recall my initial email, I was even willing to have you video my partner and I because she has it so perfected. Anyway, I have a couple of concerns you may be able to help with to help us perfect this practice. Number one, cleaning in the bathroom before the big event to avoid any mess. Whenever my partner indicates to me she is in need of some man pussy, as she sometimes calls it, I normally spend about an hour using a large enema bag to clean out. This takes that long because I want to be sure not to ruin the mood with all the dirty stuff. I use a full bag to wash out, usually three times to finish the bag, then walk around and make sure no dirty water is inside. Is this unhealthy? Is there a better or faster way to facilitate this task? And sometimes she wants to just strap it on and take me without any warning or preparation. What can I do to keep the activity clean other than not eating at all? Not eating at all. That's a wild one. Okay. First of all, enemas are not really necessary. You can use a rectal bulb syringe. And if you put that in Google search, you can find one on eBay for very cheap. And climb in the shower and you use this rectal bulb syringe. You can just fill it with the water from the shower and rinse out a few times until the water comes out clear. There's really little reason to clean out more than that. More than the rectal canal, there's not really a reason to go way up into your colon and do the whole enema thing, unless you were using really long toys. Usually there will not be a mess, and if there is, it's a teeny tiny one. And here's why I recommend that, because yes, too many enemas upsets the natural bacterial flora in the colon. So the rectal bulb syringe rinse out is the better idea. So, okay, you mentioned sometimes she likes to take you with no warning. Well, you have a couple of choices here. You can ask her for 10 minutes in the shower, because that's really all you need. It's between 5 and 10 minutes. And if she's unwilling to give you that time because she really wants to literally take you right there with no warning, then she needs to be okay with a little mess once in a while. And no, I would not recommend not eating. The way you phrased that, it was like, so I'm just never going to eat again so that I'll always be clean. And I know that's not what you meant, but, you know, those things don't go together. The she likes to take me with no warning. Well, if you have no warning, then you don't know when not to eat, right? One must survive in order to enjoy this thing we call pegging. So definitely eat. Number two question. Do women realize how they are taking their man's soul when they do this? The closeness is most unbelievable and, quite frankly, surprising. Are women aware of how close to them they get their men to feel? Naturally, we don't go bragging to our buddies about this part of our sex lives, at least not this generation anyway. But I wonder, just how do women emotionally feel when they are pegging their men? Ah, see, you can tell it's from the same reader because here's that beautiful phrasing about a man's soul again. And all I can tell you is how I feel, because I don't speak for all women. And before I tell you how I feel, I would love for the women listening to write in and answer this question, because we've already asked the guys to write in and talk about it. So, yeah. How do women emotionally feel when they are pegging their men? You know, shoot me a line. Let me know. So here's how I feel. I feel thrilled that I'm able to give him that much pleasure. I feel honored and special because of the trust that he has in allowing me in so deeply, physically, of course, but also emotionally. And I feel really close to him, physically, emotionally, and sensually in a way. It's kind of hard to describe. I feel intensely connected. Yeah, I totally love it. That's how I feel. Okay. With the heavy sigh, wistfully. It's been a while for Ruby. It's been a while. Okay. Third question. Lastly, my partner has told me she likes, in this order, the following positions for us. A, on my back, so she can get a really good view of my face, my cock, and the cock going in and out of my ass. B, standing in front of her, so she can hold onto my shoulders and drill me. C, bent over, so she can see real well the whole cock going all the way in and out. Therefore, I try to give her all three every time, starting with the bent over, then the standing, and finally the on your back, bitch, position. Of course, then she gets to see me come as well in that position. However, my heart isn't so good, and the body organs put pressure on my heart while on my back. We built an adjustable table to help, but I still have to take nitro to help with the discomfort. Do you believe that the swing from the ceiling would be more helpful? It's an expense that we don't want to throw money away on if it doesn't help. So feedback from your loyal and grateful customers would be most appreciated. Here's another opportunity to write in. If you have a swing, let us know how you like it. I only have an experience with one swing. And when I look at it, and then I did some research online of the different swings that are for sale, it looks very much like one of the ones that's for sale that I found pretty easily. So I'm pretty sure it's not anything custom made. I do know that the way that my friend rigged it up was quite well done. I mean, he had lengths of chain, and then he had carabiners, I believe that's what you call them, which basically meant that it was infinitely adjustable, which was pretty totally awesome. But it wasn't a custom-made deal, and so it is something that's available on the internet. Okay, let me back up. How awesome of you to give her all three positions every time. I love that. I do believe that the swing from the ceiling is a really good option for you to try. Because here's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like your legs are pushing up against your chest, and that's what's causing the trouble for you. If just laying down on your back is causing trouble, then the swing's not going to help. But if it's the combination of laying on your back and then having your legs up and having the knees pressed, you know, kind of your body folded in half a little bit, if you will, and that's what's pushing against your chest, yeah, absolutely. I believe that that would help. Now, if you're feeling adventurous, check out the alternatives to buying that really expensive swing from the major online retailers. Do your research and you can find it cheaper than the $300, $400, or $500 usually charged. I am totally sold on the sex swing. When I did some research, I found one on eBay for like, I think it was about $110, and it looked pretty amazing. It wasn't exactly like the one that I have used, but it looked very well made. So the reason, going back to that infinitely adjustable thing, the reason that's important, of course, is because everyone's legs are different lengths. And you want to be able to adjust the height according to your legs and even adjust it more, you know, according to, well, maybe you put some high heels on and you decide to put them on that night because you're going to make your own porn video, right? But also the person in the swing, some people like their head higher or lower or even with their torso maybe. So adjustable is really, really important. And most of those swings that are for sale do not come with the chains or the carabiner, so be aware that that's part of the expense as well. And here's a really important part. If you decide to get one of these babies, when you look it up and research it on the internet, put in sex swing with a W and a, and also sex sling with an L, because it's listed under both. If you mount it to your ceiling, make sure you do it the right way and put it in beams and not in ceilings that are going to collapse when you get somebody in it, you know. Make sure you do it the right way. Can you imagine if you weren't really sure how to do it and you had to hire like a fix-it guy to come and hang it up? That would be really funny. Which actually makes me think of a long time ago where I had a very kinky boyfriend who made a sling, interestingly enough. He sewed one out of canvas. Actually, I have a picture of him sitting behind my sewing machine, sewing this thing. And then he put four eye bolts in the ceiling. And at that time, I was living in this really rustic place with rough wood beams all over the place. Well, that relationship didn't last for a variety of reasons, which we won't go into. But the next guy that was there was laying in my bed, and he looked up and he said, "You have hooks in your ceiling. You have two hooks in your ceiling." And I said, "Yeah, don't ask." And then he said, "You know, you have four hooks in your ceiling, actually." And it became something we chuckled about quite a bit. He didn't have a swing, so he didn't get to try the swing out. You know, when that relationship ended, I believe that that guy took the swing with him. It's hard to remember. It was a long, long time ago. Okay. So I believe we are done for the evening. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. You can subscribe to my blog as well. And let me tell you, there are some pretty amazing things that I post on my blog that never do make it to the podcast. And some things I post there that don't make it to my Facebook page either. There's stories and poetry and hot pictures. Don't put the hot pictures on Facebook because I don't want them to shut me down. So check it out sometime. I recently posted a couple of stories that I wrote with my illicit email crush, Zach. He insisted I get part of the credit here because what happens is he sends me a story in rough form. And, you know, I have to say, the stories he sends always have a really good concept. They have elements of surprise. They have twists and turns that I really enjoy. And, of course, they make me totally fucking hot. But he insisted that I get part of the credit. because I take that rough story and I polish it up. And he says, it would not be as good as it is without you, so you need to get part of the credit. So I believe we are a good team, I think. And those two stories that I posted, one is called Soldier Boy, and the other is called Welcome Home. And I believe they're pretty damn hot. I'm pretty biased, but, you know, go and check them out. Let me know what you think. They are not in my subscriber bunches, so they are free to anybody who wants to read them. So go to my website and give them a read when you are by yourself with some time to play. Or you can read them to your partner even. That would be very hot. In fact, I just got a comment on one of my stories on my website in the subscriber section. And this comment came from a longtime friend. And he wrote, did I ever mention that sometimes I just read your fiction to Madam R while she masturbates? That's all he wrote. Yeah, talk about hot. Holy crap. It was awesome. Okay, my podcast is on iTunes. It's also available directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. If you feel so inclined, you can mosey on over to iTunes, rate my podcast, and write me a review. If it's a good review, I'll probably read it on my podcast. I would be very appreciative. Please send all your stories and questions to ruby at peggingparadise.com. You can also click the Write Ruby links at the upper right of every page of my blog. Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. And as always, happy pegging.